News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Good afternoon. I'm Steve Evans. Deseret Power is constructing a 70-acre generation facility. It's going to be located next to the power plant in Bonanza, and it's holding a groundbreaking ceremony on Thursday, September 15th at 10 a.m., and we encourage all to be there. Deseret Power, of course, is one of the bigger employers in our region. They own and operate Deserado Coal Mine, which is located just outside of Rangeley, Colorado. And between the mine and Deseret Power Plant, they employ nearly 300 people. What does the future hold for Deseret Power facilities in this area? What are the environmental impacts of the power plant to our region? And what does the new expansion mean for customers downline from Deseret Power, including many here in the Uinta Basin? Now, Deseret Power's new CEO, David Crabtree, is in Vernal today answering these questions and many more. David Crabtree has been serving as CEO of Deseret Power since last August. Many within Deseret Power organization describe David as a visionary leader who has increased its power generation abilities in just a short time that he's been at the head of the organization. Not only are they constructing a solar facility here in the Uinta Basin, but Deseret also has added gas peaking units in St. George this year. David Crabtree, welcome to the KVEL studios, and thank you for all that you do for the Uinta Basin, your organization does for the Uinta Basin. David, can you tell us a little bit about your background? Where are you from? What was your experience been with the power generation?
Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me. I've worked at Deseret as their general counsel for about 25 years. I was the outside counsel before that, and I've been serving as CEO for about a year, like you said.
Okay. Now, as I understand it, in speaking with some of your people, Deseret sells power to 5 electric co-ops. David Crabtree, where are these cooperatives, these power cooperatives located, and who do you provide power for here in the Uinta Basin? You don't provide power to the whole general region, but you provide it to who?
Well, in a way we do. We have 5 members that own us. We call in a cooperative, our ownership structure is by membership. The members own us. The nearest member cooperative is Moon Lake Electric in Roosevelt. Uh-huh. We have our other members are in Wyoming, St. George, Utah, Ely, Nevada, and Garfield County in southern Utah. But we also sell, in a long-term relationship, bulk electricity to Pacific Corp, Utah Power and Light,
or oh, okay.
Pacific Corp. So much of the actual energy and electricity that people living, working, farming here in Vernal, you could surmise comes from our power plant as well.
Okay, so it benefits everyone in the Uinta Basin, the success of our power plant. I know our community is quite proud of our power plant and the facility there. How will the citizens of the Uinta Basin benefit from the construction of a 70-acre solar facility? What are some of the ways that we'll benefit from that, David?
The solar facility helps us in a number of ways. It diversifies our portfolio. First of all, it really answers a need and a demand. A lot of people would like to see more use of renewable, carbon-free, clean sources of energy. And we're all for that in its proper role and in its proper place. Mm-hmm. And so this allows us to make use of a really excellent site where our Bonanza power plant sits. That is, I won't say tailor-made, but very easily put to use for solar. Solar will allow us to extend the life of our coal reserves by displacing coal during hours when the solar energy is strong. Mm-hmm. We can burn less coal in those hours. That extends the life of the reserves. It stabilizes our rates. The renewable energy is in strong demand by some of our members that are feeling that way, but also by customers outside our organization that are willing to pay a premium. Mm-hmm. We can sell to them a premium, meet their requests, and some of that premium comes back to our ratepayers in the form of stable, steady rates.
So it stabilizes the power supply, And it also can be of rate benefit, because the more supply you have, the more the end user can benefit from the price. Is that right?
Exactly. It's a win-win.
Okay. All right. Do you see us expanding the 70 acres facility? Do you see that in the future for Deseret Power?
Quite possibly, and I would say that's a strong possibility right now. With recent legislation that we might get into, the incentives are only getting stronger to do more of this.
Okay. Do we geographically located? I know a lot of solar panels or solar fields are down, you know, southern, you know, maybe in Nevada and those areas, and we don't see many up in this geographic region. Is the geographic region good for production of solar power?
We're very strong. This area is a very strong candidate for solar power. It's just not yet been selected. That has a lot to do with just who goes in what order. And it's true that the deep Southwest, the desert Southwest, Arizona and southern Utah have been identified as the priority areas for solar development. But as that has already started in a big way, it's an easy expansion here, and the differential in solar intensity is not very significant. So this is a very good place. We've had test solar at our facility for a number of years, and it's a strong product, and we're looking forward to a great outcome from this project.
Earlier in the introduction, I mentioned that you have been involved in some gas peaking units in southern Utah, in the St. George region. Do you envision Deseret Power and Bonanza utilizing natural gas to generate power?
Thanks for that question. Natural gas is has some characteristics as a fuel that can't be matched by other fuels. One of the best things that natural gas can do is to bring on, in a rapid fashion, electricity when it's needed, instant on capacities. And these peaking units we're talking about, they're much like starting and stopping your car engine. It mm-hmm. comes on that quickly. Of course, the electric grid has to be energized real time, meaning the same time you turn on your switch and energy flows to your light bulb at your home or in your office, the response to the grid has to be placing that energy on that grid at that moment. There's really not storage capacity. So there's a huge need for these instant on, quick start facilities. We call that peaking.
Okay.
So we've started that in St. George. We'll probably look at some more as we get more need for that particular component.
The future of natural gas in generating power, do you see that in the future? It is a fossil fuel. Do you see that?
Tremendous.
It's much cleaner, as I understand it.
It's a more refined fuel. And because it's more refined, especially when we talk about carbon dioxide, however you feel about carbon dioxide, the emission of carbon dioxide on a per unit basis is lower with natural gas because it's been refined, you could say, by nature, than, say, coal. So, yes, it's very valuable. It has been our bridge. Some people call it the bridge fuel that is moving us from an older technology to whatever the future is, which is what will be undoubtedly a lower carbon intensity. You begin to fracture people's opinions when you say, well, how low is low, and mm-hmm. how quick do we need to get to a low carbon future? But everybody is basically of a consensus. If we can get there, let's move in that direction.
We have the infrastructure. We have the supply of natural gas here in the Uinta Basin. I mean, you have almost an endless supply of natural gas. It just seems logical.
It's a tremendous opportunity, and we'd like to tap into it. There is actually, at times, not adequate pipeline to move the natural gas out of this area to the markets that would like to use it. One of the difficulties of using natural gas for what we call base loading, that is all day, all night generation, is we're at high altitude. Mm-hmm. And if you use natural gas, which again is a refined fuel, it's a very, you might say, a precious fuel, If you burn it at high altitude, you lose efficiency. An analogy would be you lose horsepower. Mm-hmm. If you move that in pipeline to a lower altitude, you'll get more bang for the buck.
I see. Okay, but that is a possibility of being in the future for Deseret Power.
It's definitely in our game plan.
Okay, all right. Is power generated from coal at Deseret Power facility in Bonanza harmful to the environment? Could you address the environmental concerns that many have?
I start, when people ask me these questions, I start with the coal, because it all starts in the ground. And one thing that I like to emphasize is the coal that we use, we mine it at Deserado, like you mentioned, just outside Rangeley. It's a very low sulfur Western coal. It's an underground product. We take it from underground. It's not strip mined. It also has extremely low constituents of heavy metals like mercury. So we start with a coal product that already in its constituency is one of the cleanest coals used for power production really anywhere in the world.
Really? Right here in Deserado coal mine.
All the Western coals are of that nature.
Up in Wyoming as well?
Well, Wyoming is a surface mined coal, and it's a lower quality. It's more abundant, but it's easier to get to, but it's a lower quality. Our underground coal is a higher quality, but again, it's true of all Western coals, including the Powder River Basin in Wyoming, mm-hmm. that they're very low sulfur coals.
Okay, all right, that's good. What about what measures has Deseret Power taken to protect the environment? Particulate matter, I see none coming from the stacks. I don't see anything at all but steam.
Yes.
Is there particulate matter there?
The Bonanza Power Plant fully scrubs all of the particulates. There's bag houses that filter every, we do not operate our plant if the bag houses are not online.
Okay.
That's just mm-hmm. we don't do it. Those bag houses are extremely efficient at removing particulate. And like I said, we start with a coal already that has almost, I won't say zero, but virtually zero mercury, which is one of the big worries about particulates that come out of, say, Eastern coal-fired units. We start with a coal that doesn't have the mercury to speak of at all. And then we remove all of the particulates. One thing you should know, this is interesting, the ash that we capture and falls out of the combustion is actually a valuable commodity. We sell that. It's used for road projects.
Really?
It goes into, it's a constituent.
So nothing's wasted.
Cement. It's in demand.
Okay. With the construction of the Uinta Railway beginning in January, and increased production, oil production in the region after the rail system becomes operational, our area will undoubtedly grow substantially over the next 5 years. Do you see the power generation facilities and transmission infrastructure in place to meet this demand of this future growth?
Thanks for that question. That's an important question. A lot of people overlook if we're going to have growth, we need to have planning in advance, because exactly they'll have to be serviced with the infrastructure, including the power generation. We have adequate and ample supplies. In fact, we sell in almost every hour of the year. We sell surplus energy now to the Western markets that finds its way essentially to the West Coast. So as we have native growth here, we'll be well positioned to serve that.
Hydropower generation, does that affect the Uinta Basin at all?
Absolutely.
Does it?
In a lot of ways.
Okay. So if we ever got to a point to where we couldn't generate off the Green River, off of Flaming Gorge, and off of heaven forbid, Glen Canyon Dam and the Hoover Dam below that, what would that do to our power grid and our supply?
Well, let me say very quickly,
I hope we
never get to that point.
Right. Let's pray for snow.
Yes.
This winter.
If nothing else, I want the water.
Yeah.
I like the power that comes with it. To give you an idea, the Flaming Gorge facility generates a quantity of electricity, and Flaming Gorge is a beautiful dam. I mean, mm-hmm. It's no small project. The Bonanza Power Plant is capable of generating on the order of 10 to 12 times that much electricity.
Okay.
Just the one plant. We are seeing cutbacks, not out of Flaming Gorge, but out of Glen Canyon. Mm-hmm. They've limited the release. And when you limit release of water, that
slows the turbines and
reduces the generation.
Okay. All right. With the Inflation Reduction Act that's recently passed into law, it provides incentives for EV manufacturers and customers, incredible incentives. So hypothetically, even if 20% of Utah's population were to own electric vehicles 5 years from now, how much more demand would that place on our power supply? And does Utah, again, have the infrastructure in place to meet that demand?
That's a question that really you have to expand the scope of the question beyond Utah, because it's a question that will put a real challenge to all the experts across the United States. The shift in the transportation sector to electricity will put huge new demand on already a pretty seriously taxed grid. We're going to have to build a lot more infrastructure, not just in the generation, which it will probably, I've seen estimates from the National Academy of Sciences that we would have to double or produce 2.5 times the current amount of electricity to make that significant shift in passenger vehicles and most of the fleets of transportation fleet, semi-trucks. But the even larger challenge is moving that electricity from where it will be generated and where it is generated mm-hmm. now, especially wind, which comes out of Wyoming, Western Texas, to the places where those vehicles will need to be recharged. Right now, our grid was built so that you transport electricity from one very large power plant like ours to essentially a city center. A semi-truck can't always recharge in the city center. It's got to move around.
Right.
And so getting that electricity spread out, much more so than what we're doing now, is a challenge that, from what I can see in the industry, we have not yet really started to tackle that challenge in a big way, if we really want to scale.
Do we have governmental support for the expansion of generation facilities?
There is governmental support for adding lots and lots of new renewables.
Or are we just going to add the renewables and hope that everything falls into place? Let me rephrase the question. Do we have, can renewables alone meet the power needs of our country, of the Western region, in 10 years?
In a word, no.
Yeah, in one word, no.
No. That's not
feasible
in practical terms. Not worthy of serious consideration.
Well, there's many that think that that's possible.
Some talk that way, but I've yet to meet one that can talk me through the details. And I'm happy to be educated.
Okay, David Crabtree, CEO of Deseret Power. One final question: where do you see Deseret Power and Deserado Mine in 5 years?
Luckily, we're on a very stable course. Both the mine and the power plant are easily going to stick around for 5 years. We have agreements in place with the Environmental Protection Agency that allows us to taper, if that's what we choose to do, and use less of the coal through the projects like this one we're doing now. Mm-hmm. We'll displace the coal during hours when we can use other resources. That extends the life. It allows us to use it at nighttime when the wind isn't blowing, when we need it.
Okay.
So it's very strong. I'm very enthusiastic.
Future's bright.
It's extremely bright.
I think Huey Lewis, I think his future's so bright, I'm going to have to wear shades. Is that right?
I love that song.
Yeah, I do too. All right. We appreciate David Crabtree and his service to our community through Deseret Power. We appreciate Deseret Power and the great neighbors they are, members of our community, and their contribution. And this is exciting news. Deseret Power constructing a 70-acre generation facility next to the power plant in Bonanza. And, of course, they're holding a groundbreaking ceremony. Now, it's coming up Thursday, September 15th at 10 a.m. And we would encourage all to show up who can show up and show their support, the support for the great industrial neighbors that they are here in our community. All right, that is a discussion that we've had on power here in the Uinta Basin on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Thank you for joining us.